Well, again, good evening. Everybody's had a great afternoon. We are privileged tonight to have a couple special guests with us. You may have met them either Saturday night or this morning out in the hall. Dave Dameron, who is the president and overseer of Focus Ministries, which has three different ministries under them, which our church does support as part of our missionary giving, is here with us. And one of those ministries that he helps lead and promote is a ministry in Pakistan. And so Dr. Salim is with him as well. And they're going to be sharing with us tonight. A lot of you probably, and you may have heard on the video announcement that Dave is the father of Jake Dameron. And I know it's been a few years since Jake was here, but if you're wondering, who's Jake Dameron? Well, he was a worship leader that we had, and just a tremendous young man. He and his wife, who's from Peru, felt called to go and minister in Peru, so they left us, and it wasn't nice of them. But they're down there following the Lord, serving him in Peru. So without further ado, I want to give them time. So Dave, why don't you come up and share with us. Let's give Dave a Calvary Knoxville welcome.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you for inviting us in, allowing us this opportunity to be with you this whole weekend. As we were kind of looking at dates, this was a tough date because Pastor Mark wasn't here, Pastor Mike Slack wasn't here, but I'm like, that's okay. I mean, there's a handful of people that I personally know, and just the fact that this church supports us in a very broad way, it just is very meaningful. And my hope and prayer really is that you feel connected to these ministries, that you feel like because of what you're doing here, you're touching lives in Peru, in Pakistan, and then I'll share with you a little bit about my wife's local ministry in Dayton, Ohio. We live just outside of Dayton in the city of Xenia. Starts with an X. My wife's name is Jennifer. We've been married 35 years, and we have four children that are adults now. They range from 20 up to 30 years of age. Jake, our oldest, came to this congregation in 2012, okay? And that's my first connection with Calvary of Knoxville. I've got a picture of the old building when you guys met in this facility. How many of you remember that place? You were a part of the church then. Okay, fantastic. So you know, and that building's not even here anymore. The whole highway design has taken out that whole area. So that's our first. So Jake is there. He's got his younger brother, Will, is standing below him. Our other son, our second son, is to his left, is Mitch. And then my nephew, Jeffrey's got the fedora on and sunglasses. They're all close to the same age. They've hung out together all their lives. But this was when our son, at age 18, was invited to be a part of an internship with Calvary of Knoxville and came under the mentorship of Ebo Elder, if you remember Ebo, and then Pastor Mark as well. And so from 2012 on, he was a part of this church. Fast forward, later that summer, I was there with our son when you guys dedicated, and I think you were putting Bibles in the foundation, or the Word of God was being planted in the foundation in the concrete of this facility. So it was a real special day, and that's where we are today. And now God is blessing and directing and guiding, and I know of the expansion plan coming up and everything. So this is just the depth of how I feel connected to you as a congregation and how grateful I am because you were a part of a significant discipleship of our oldest son, and it shaped his heart, his mind, his willingness to trust God. I mean, what we've sung about in these songs, just trusting Jesus each step of the way. For me personally, you know, Proverbs 16:9 is like a life verse for me. It's in my heart that I can set my plans, but God defines the steps. And so in a very real sense, that's kind of my connection from the very onset with this congregation. I'm very appreciative of all of you. Fast forward now to the recent times. Our son Jake, I am going to take a drink because I get so thirsty. Our son Jake has a second child, was born. He and Raquel live in Peru. And if you so desire, open up your phone or open up your camera. You hold it up to this QR code. It just takes you to a form where if you're not on their email list, they really would like to stay in touch with new people, as well as I think several of the people that have known them for years are on their email list. But all you do is, yeah, open up your phone, the camera. That QR code will take you to a form on the internet, and you can just, it's real simple. It's not a payment thing. It's not a commitment. It's just strictly, they'll get a message with your email address and your name. They'll add you to their email list. And you can kind of keep up with what's going on down in Peru. Now, the whole idea of focused ministries came to my wife and I. Actually, it was born out of the 35 years of ministry and marriage that we've had. And in 5 years ago, in 2019, we were in a specific season of life where I was not on staff with the church. I was not working in any other capacity that year. There were some circumstances that were difficult for us. We prayed, we reached out to people that we cared very deeply about, and they encouraged us in a vision and direction we felt like God was taking us into forming focused ministries as a nonprofit charitable organization that does mobilization for missions. Specifically, I wanted to mobilize for my friend, Dr. Salim Massey. He and I have known each other for 40 years. We met in Bible college back in the 1980s. And we've been friends ever since. And Salim does a wonderful job, and he'll share a little bit here in just a minute. The other was for a ministry that my wife was involved in, and I'll share about that in just a second too. But I want to back up and kind of, in that ministry season, it was trusting Jesus, it was waiting on Jesus, it was just praying, reaching out to people that helped align our thinking with God's thinking and discerning the next step. And it was truly a Proverbs 16:9 moment. He had set us, our heart, on this path of forming and doing mission mobilization, but we didn't know what the next step was, but God would give us the next step and the next step and the next step. And you know how difficult 2020 was. So we started Focus Ministries in 2019, came through that year, raised support for different parts of that ministry. But then in 2020, I started working a part-time job as a school bus driver for a local community in Xenia, Ohio, to supplement kind of a tent-making ministry. And there's some people I've talked with today that have done tent-making ministry. It's a phrase that came out of the Apostle Paul's life, that he was a tent-maker, but he was also a full-time apostle. And there were just times that he needed to make a living doing something, so he made tents. And I needed to pay some bills, and so I drove a school bus starting in 2020. Well, you know what happened in 2020. You know, by the springtime, schools were shutting down, everything like that. But God blessed and provided in such that I was already an authorized school driver. And through COVID relief money coming into schools, they paid me that whole year, and I only drove half the year. We started back up in the fall. We were delivering food to students during that time. And in 2021, we were routed again. So I was starting to pick up students and take them to school and so forth like that. But again, it's just part of God's plan and how he orchestrates things. Now I want to go back a little bit further and about my wife. So we lived in Atlanta, Georgia for 9 years. And it was because of a ministry move, and we did mission mobilization during that time as well. And my wife went to a seminar on community outreach ministries, okay? So it was just like one of those ecumenical, or I guess it was interdenominational. It wasn't ecumenical, it was interdenominational. People came from all kinds of different churches, and there was a presenter. And these women presented a ministry of going into strip clubs and ministering to the women working at the clubs. And the woman that started this ministry 25 years prior was a dancer, and her life was about over through the drugs, the hardship, the oppression, the manipulation. I mean, just fill in the blank with everything that goes on behind the scenes in those clubs. And God delivered her, and how he delivered her is a great story. It's her story. But she came out of that, turned her life over to Christ. Jesus just transformed her. She married a man, started having children, established a family. She was on a beautiful track. And guess what God did? He called her back into the clubs to minister to the women. She was like, Lord, I don't want to go back into the clubs. And God said, no, that's what I want you to do. So she was presenting that day about this ministry outreach. And my wife is there with several other women. And they're like, whoo, this is tough. And they said, well, we're going to do a training this Saturday or this week sometime. If you would, come to the training. It's just 2 hours. So about a handful of women agreed to go to this training. And they showed up, went through the two-hour training. And then the presenter, she said, let's do an outreach. How about it, ladies? Exactly. And my wife's like, now? And they're like, oh, yeah, let's just go. Come on, we've already got, you know, we have connections. We can get into a couple clubs. We'll just give you a... So she goes on this outreach, and it totally changed her life. And everything that you can imagine. I was talking to a woman today, a lady from here, and she went, oh, my, that would be so difficult. And she just covered her eyes. And that's how we all feel. It's like, oh, I don't think I could deal with that, you know. And that's the worst extreme. The best is what God did. He connected people's hearts, and they were focused on people in hard-to-reach places. And so that's really how Focus Ministries came about, is being focused on people in hard-to-reach places. And strip clubs are one of the toughest places you can imagine, you know. So I say that because coming in here, I know there's a club right on Alcoa Avenue. Is that what it is, Alcoa? It's been there the whole time that we've visited Calvary. It's changed names, but still there. And if there would ever be a desire, or at least an openness, my wife would come back in a heartbeat and visit with you all and just share, and even help if you want to take the next step. Visit with the club, meet the manager, explain what you're doing. You're there to represent the love of Jesus to anybody and everyone. And they do this every third Friday in two clubs on the outskirts of Dayton, Ohio. They've been doing it for 5 years to the same two clubs. They've deeply gotten to know these women. These women have gotten to know them. We went through COVID with them where we delivered food and items to their homes. Went to a whole nother level from the club to their actual homes. And we visited with them. The men that are part of this are the, you know, men that have spouses or daughters involved in this. We are in the parking lot. We just pray. We stay in the vehicle. We're just praying for our loved ones, our family members, and we're praying for God to open doors. And so there really isn't anything disgusting that we're a part of. But we see lives changed. And there's a couple, there's one great testimony video on our Focus Ministry website of a woman named Victoria. And she was married recently. We were part of her wedding a year ago. She's working at a great, respectable job. She testifies to what Christ has done to her life. And she's a part of a local church just outside of Dayton, Ohio now. And they're few and far between these stories out of the hundreds of women involved, but it's a very important ministry. And so that's, again, part of Focused Ministries. Now, I'll tell you my quick connection to Dr. Salim, and I'll set up a video that we'll watch. Is in 2013, I visited Dr. Salim. We had known each other since Bible college days in the 80s, like I said. And he and I would visit when he would come into the United States, and we always talked about our families, and he would say, when are you coming to Pakistan? And so in 2013, I was a part of a church in Georgia. We supported his ministry deeply. He challenged me on the stage in front of everybody, and I said, I'll go when the Lord opens the door. And he's like, oh, the Lord's opening the door now, you know. And so in 2013, I was given a visa. Was able to travel to Pakistan, was able to see the work. And it was on that trip that we prayed on the first parcel of land where the Good Shepherd Christian Hospital is being established. And I want you to see this video. This was something that a tech person from our church in Georgia put together.
A judge in Pakistan has sentenced a Christian couple to death on false charges of blasphemy.
Now comes news of the Pakistani High Court has upheld Asya's conviction and death sentence for alleged blasphemy against the Muslim prophet Muhammad.
45 people are behind bars in Pakistan accused of a brutal mob beating that left a Christian couple dead. A Muslim mob reportedly beat them to death for desecrating a Quran.
It's a miracle of God that we could get this piece of land for the hospital right on the front. So we will build the hospital, put the cross on high, you know, that will be great witness, and then we will be sharing the love of Christ with these Muslims. That it's a great victory for all churches in the states that we would have this land.
Great victory for all the churches in the United States that we would have this land. I want you to really believe this, that you are a part of what God is doing through this ministry to lift the cross of Christ, to exalt the cross of Christ in an Islamic land. When I was there in 2013, I visited the churches that Salim in those 30, it was really like 25 years, 24 years at that time, had planted. There are 12 Christian churches that are established in and around Lahore, Pakistan, the capital city of Lahore. They have buildings, they have crosses on them. When we would go into a village at night, the cross was lighted. You saw the cross. You didn't see mosque towers or anything else around lighted, because this was a witness that Salim and his Christian community that he's a part of boldly went into these towns where there were clusters of little Christians, helped them to gather, bought a piece of land through the support of churches in the United States and other places in the world, established a building, put the cross up there, held meetings weekly. I mean, just everything that we get to do with tremendous freedoms, they do it with the threat, but the boldness. It's the boldness of their faith that just holds back. And God's grace, you know, his grace is sufficient. If you saw that printed on that wall real quickly, that was Salim's house. Messiah says, my grace is sufficient. He puts that in letters on the outside of his house right there in Pakistan. And so I just want you to know how you're part of this. And so I want to introduce my friend, Dr. Salim Massey. He's going to show you an update with the Good Shepherd Christian Hospital video. And he'll share a couple more things. And then I think we will have a little bit of time for some questions and answers if you'd like to ask some questions about the ministry in any way, shape, or form. So, again, thank you. And you want to watch the video first? Okay, this is the video of the hospital.
The Good Shepherd Christian Hospital compound. As you can see, it literally is a compound. God has been so faithful here. And not only are you going to see the hospital that's present, but there is also land for a nursing school, a marketplace to enable the hospital to become fully self-sufficient. And in the future, there's also land for there to be a significant hospital extension. So there'll be more hospital departments. Over on the right, in this large field here, that's going to be where the marketplace is. It's substantial, and there's going to be some living quarters there. The proceeds is going to fund the hospital. On your left, we have a garden. Behind the market square is where the nursing school is going to be. And above the nursing school is going to be living quarters for doctors and international nurses if they need to stay. This is the Good Shepherd Christian Hospital. It is a 150-bed hospital at this point in time. There is room for the extension behind us. This hospital was designed by both a British and an American architect. It's at international standard and it is state of the art.
Hello, my name's Dean Overholt. I'm from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I'm here in Ghazur, Pakistan. And this is the Good Shepherd Christian Hospital of Dr. Salim. And we've been helping him get this organized for many years now. And I'm very impressed. It's a splendid operation, marvelous. It's beautiful, the finishings are great. They still have a lot of equipment to purchase and get the pharmacies and the ERs going and the surgery suites going, but it's getting there. It's getting very close. We're very excited because this area has no real hospital, and there'll be a lot of people that'll be using it right away, and it'll be a ministry of compassion and love and care and mercy for this community.
My name is Bruce Camp, and I'm from California in the United States. And I've been coming to Pakistan and seeing the progress of this hospital construction. I was here for the groundbreaking ceremony as well as other times. Now we've got the shell, but we have to work on the inside to get the equipment they need to help with the pharmacy, and then they'll be able to take patients.
Currently in Bagiana Village, right next to Bagiana Christian Evangelical Church, which is one of the seven churches Dr. Saleem has planted in the Kasur district. This is one of the villages the Good Shepherd Hospital is going to be serving. So it's one of 645 villages, which is pretty amazing. As you can see, living conditions here are relatively modest. These citizens are classed as C-class citizens. Their ability to get quality health care is very challenging. What the Good Shepherd Hospital is wanting to do is give them A-class citizen treatment for the price of love, the Good Shepherd's love. God bless you all.
Ah, Tania, bacho Tania. Bolo, khudaan yasum siki.
My name is Professor Dr. Saleem Essie. By the grace of God, I am the founder of Good Shepherd Christian Hospital Kasur. And by His grace, the hospital construction is very near completion. And now we are ready to bring medical equipments in the hospital in order to see the patients. And I will encourage friends that if they could help us in this area, of the medical equipment so we could start this hospital. May the Lord bless you. Much more, Pakistan, Zindabad. Thank you very much.
If you would, just give a warm welcome to Dr. Saleem Essie. I want to be clear too, you know, though focused ministries is what I do, these are the heroes. It's my honor to support my friend, Dr. Saleem, and his work in Pakistan. It's my honor to support my son and daughter-in-law and grandkids in Peru. And it's my honor to support my wife with her ministry and outreach to women. But again, thank you for your time. Thank you, Dr. Saleem. This is
Good evening. No, this is not good evening. Good evening. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, your voice is still down, you know. You should have coffee, you know. Huh? Well, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I'm thankful to my friend Dave Dameron, and especially to Brother Jason and all the elders and the Pastor Kirk that they have provided this opportunity to me that I could share the love of Christ with you. Although you have seen this, watched this video very clearly, but I do not want to spend much time. I really rather ask when I speak, you know, after that you could ask questions. That will be very nice, you know. So, exalting the cross is very, very challenging in the Islamic world. Before videos you have watched, that because of blasphemy law, many innocent peoples are suffering in different prisons. When you will read this newsletter, you will also read that how mob actually killed that person. So living in that situation is very, very challenging and difficult. And especially, this hospital is on the highway. And to put the cross on the highway is again life and death. Now let me tell you, friend, quickly, you people are flying like eagles. And where our feathers has been cut, we are daily suffering. But let what Paul says, if one church suffers, a body of Christ suffer, let the whole body of Christ suffer together. Internationally, are we one body of Christ? Amen. And how many people love to see the cross is exalting? Amen. What Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Self-tribulation, difficulties, sword, famine, blasphemy, law? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors in him who loves us. Amen? We are victorious Christians around the world. So what is going on in Pakistan is not because of me. It's because of you. Because you are praying and we are one body of Christ. Friends, just now you have seen majestic, wonderful building. What is the purpose of that building? It's not a hospital. It's something else. That is that how many Muslims will every month will experience the compassion, love, and mercy of Christ. Directly, you cannot evangelize them because that's a blasphemy. But indirectly, you can reach to them when they will come to the Good Shepherd Christian Hospital. Our Lord Jesus Christ also ministered us teaching, preaching, and healing. The humanity is suffering, and we want to bring them to Christ. The purpose of the church on this earth is that each tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. King of kings. Amen? Amen? So how many wants that 100,000 people come to Good Shepherd Hospital and know Jesus, and then each tongue shall confess and each knee shall bow that Jesus is the Lord? How many wants? Amen. How many wants? Amen. Where are your hands? Come on. Amen. Amen. That's I want from this church, and your partnership and our partnership back in Pakistan is exalting the cross of Jesus. And the purpose of this church is also that all over the world, let people confess that Jesus is the Lord. Amen? Amen. So I don't want to take much time because we are very time conscious, you know, in the States. If I've been in Pakistan, I can take another 30 minutes, you know. If I take a few minutes more, might be Jason can, you know, kick me out, you know. So Before I ask you, please answer questions. You know, I would like to tell you that I have only one wife, and I have two daughters and two sons. So my first daughter is Samrina. She is a medical doctor working at Christ Hospital. My second daughter is Sabrina. She's a psychologist. She runs her own clinic. My son, Samson, studied at Bible College in Cincinnati, Ohio, where David and I studied, and went back to Pakistan. Then he did his master's degree in health administration. So he will be our administrator of the hospital. And my second son, Simon, just now you might have seen the picture. He is doing his double master at Chicago. And February, by the grace of God, as a missionary, he will also go back. And I'm very proud of his grace that my whole family is serving the Lord in Pakistan. And you are my family, and we love that. Come, come and serve the Lord. I heard that you have also a few doctors and few nurses. Come on short terms and see how God is doing marvelous job. When you will read this newsletter, you will notice few nurses and doctors were there. And I want also from this church, come, we have a very nice guest house where you can stay. And by the grace of God, next year in October, I would extend invitation to all of you, and especially to our pastors and David Emery and others. Come on in October, let us inaugurate this hospital for the glory of God. And just now we need friends, equipment in it. And I know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You will be glad to know, since we started this hospital to up to now, the Lord is providing immensely, and Lord shall provide immensely, you know. So thank God this hospital is completed now, and now next year by his grace we will open, and many people will come and experience the compassion, love, and mercy of Christ. Amen. Please, if you have a question, go ahead. You have 6 minutes to go. Yes. Yes, we will be providing outdoor patients services, then also a few departments like eye department, then we will have also dental department. So different departments we will open, and the community, you know, the skin, different problem, or gynecology. Many women also die in their, you know, pregnancy, so that is very much concern. So that in that whole area, there is no hospital, so that will be a great Christian witness to serve these people and bring them to Christ. Yes. Okay, another question. Go ahead. Yes, the hidden, what we use the terminology, hidden Christians are there because they cannot openly say, because of blasphemy law. Blasphemy law is this: if you ever insult or deny Muhammad, if he is a Muslim, you shall put to death or imprisonment. So yes, the thing, this is the purpose of this hospital, that let they at least know indirectly about Jesus Christ, you know. Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Is attendance at your existing churches a crime?
What, please? No, actually in Christian localities you can, but the problem is this: time to time when they become mad, you can be attacked. Like in Jadawala, just now, you know, you have watched that video. Last year they burned 25 churches. So you never know, you never know. But again, Paul mentioned, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? We have to carry on the work. We have to carry on. We are the soldier of Christ, you know. So that is our witness, you know. So this is why we want to, this is what Paul says, I do not boast except the cross of Jesus, you know. Please. Okay, question? Yes.
Are you allowed to have a chapel in
Yes, chapel will be there. Yes, so we will start every morning singing one song, prayer, and then start, you know. That is the purpose of this hospital, you know. Yes. Yes, if someone asks us, we do give Bibles, and also next year we are going to start a Bible college, Good Shepherd Bible College, in the hospital premises. Yes. Yes. Question. Yeah, we have still 3 minutes, so go ahead. Yes. Okay, we need like a dental department, in dental, you know, eye departments, pharmacy. So different, if someone asks us, we can tell them what we need. Yes. Yes. I can send you a list if you you have my newsletter. If you send me newsletter, the email, I will be able to send you what we need. Yes. What?
It's a hospital.
What? Yes. Let me tell you, that is very, very important to know. The first part is designed by an American, and the second is by British, and it is this hospital is built under the supervision of British architect. So international measures, whatever, if you ever come and see, this is one of the best modern hospital in Pakistan. So yes, everything is wonderful, and this is why when you read this newsletter, you will see what people are saying about the hospital. It's not ordinary. Well, we tried our best. Then when the international people come, they feel the same, that they have been done the work like in, you know, Western world. Although we cannot meet your standard, but we tried our best to do the best in Pakistan. Yes, but this is very, yes, we have all these measures there, so how we can take care of these things if something happened. Yes. What are you saying? Yes, the tools we can buy from a local, because in Sialkot, that is a very famous place. So mostly, I would say 99% we will buy locally, because if you buy get it internationally, it is very costly. It is very costly. Yes.
What are you hoping to have with the market?
Yes. The market, that's a good question. We are going to build a market. Market does mean that it will also give us money to sustain the hospital, and also nursing school to build will also give us money, because many students will pay, but the poor, if they don't pay, it's okay. But then these two institutes will give us money so we could run the hospital. This is what we say, that will be a sustainable project. No question from this side? If people don't ask question, it does mean their English is very poor. They don't understand what I said, you know. Okay.
Will the Muslim believers resist Christian care?
No, that is a very good question. As long as you have a hospital and schools, as long as they get benefits, they are very good. So they, as long as you provide benefits to them, they are good friends. If not, they are against you.
Now, what about when you put the seminary or Bible college on the premises? Is that going to cross a line?
Oh, no. You are right. Actually, that will be only temporary in the, you know, as when we will have a land, we will have a separate, yes. Only for the time being, we can use a few rooms. You are right. Yes, please.
Do
No, not at all. That will be my honor. See, this is very logical, and with this very easy question, you know. Your country is a very rich country, and also economically as well as educationally. The person who is in a poverty will always love to come to go for the prosperity, you know. So that is not strange, because when people are coming from the poor country, when they have the prosperity here, why not they are going to stay? So they will stay. That is their choice. Now, a man like me, I came in 86. That was my commitment to go. My all children are very highly professional. But our target is to go back to glorify Jesus. That I was talking to David also. That, see, 40 years ago I came here, but money was not our target. Our target was to cross, exalt the cross of Jesus. And that's my family is also with us. So we are also, we cannot even, many times people ask me, why don't you stay in the States? I said, that's not my world. Our world is back to exalt. If I could ever stay here and preach and teach here in the States, I know I can. I teach and preach because I have highly qualifications, but then who is going to do that work? You know, praise the Lord. Now we have 12 churches. My son is going. We will expand. And a hospital is there. How many poor people will be also uplifted? Many nurses will be there. Many doctors will be there, which we will produce through this hospital. So we want to spread the fragrance of Christ in that area. So that is it's a matter of commitment, sir. And if you analyze, let me go back to your own, how many Europeans are immigrant here and then settled down. So this country is non-immigrant and then became immigrant, you know. Nobody's American. All are Europeans. So if you ask you might be a Scottish or Irish, you know. Okay, ask another question. Okay, we gave that bank. It does mean the direct, if someone want to send direct donation, that will go to Good Shepherd Kitchen Hospital's account. If, or they can send to Focus Ministry for Good Shepherd Kitchen Hospital, and you will be glad to know also, Good Shepherd Kitchen Hospital Foundation is registered by the government. And also in a year, we also, whatever we spend, FBR, you know, Federal Bureau Revenue Government, you know, so we also give all the accountability to the government and carry on the work. So each year, we get the certificate, so each and every penny is being spent on the hospital. And that's our purpose, to spread the good news, you know. Yes, sir.
Let me clarify.
Yeah. Yes.
Everything goes. It was our purpose to be able to provide this to my friends.
Yes.
And not be taken from this ministry. There's another organization that we've worked through and still do called New Horizons Foundation in Colorado. And they do international projects for all kinds of physician organizations. They can't do that themselves. And so there are times that we receive, we send it to New Horizons. They wire it directly into Lahore, and then Lahore reports it to the government in Pakistan.
And last thing I want to also mention that it is very difficult. It took me many, many years, first of all, to register this hospital, charity hospital, because it is very difficult that they ask many, many questions, where from the money come, why money is coming, and why you want to build this one. So it took me 3 years with that department which deals with the finances, you know, and also with the local government that why you are building this and what is the purpose. So we have to give all the accountability about that. And thank God this hospital is registered and we are okay now. And now we need to see that how Lord is doing marvelous work in Pakistan. And I will encourage all of you, please come and see what God is doing. In the nurses, please come. Doctors, come. Any person who has any skill, they can serve there short-term, long-term. We have a beautiful guest house where they can stay. And you're staying, and food is our responsibility, okay? You need to come. And if someone don't have even tickets, you know, don't worry, the Lord shall provide. Yes. Yes, okay. What are you saying, please? Hello? No, not extra. I am a taxpayer, my family is taxpayer, hospital is taxpayer, that I was explaining to you, that whatever we buy, we pay 5% on it, so we are very clean on that, you know. So this is what I always say, that in the eyes of the government, we have a great honor, and in the eyes of our contributors, we have a great honor. Anybody can see what we are doing, that's our priority, because that is my faith. That is not only ministry, that is my faith. Let that faith grow and spread the gospel around the world, you know. Amen. Yes?
Given the Muslim background, how did Jesus reach you?
How Jesus?
Yeah, how did you come to believe?
Yes, when I was maybe 10, 12 years old, I came to the Lord, accepted him as my Savior, and that was my journey to carry on.
Was that because
of a missionary? No. I was born in a village, and I heard the gospel, and I came to the Lord, and that was my commitment to the Lord, that if I go to states or somewhere else, I will get studies, but I will come back to Pakistan to serve him. And thank God I am standing on my commitment.
Amen.
Yes.
I hear that a lot of people in the Middle East have dreams of Jesus. In your experience, is that true?
Okay. Oh, yes. See, Lord can do anything in people's life, you know. It can be dreams. It can be any miracle. So Lord has different ways, and it happens. There is no doubt. And sometimes many people send us requests, please pray. These are Muslims. Please pray that the Lord Jesus heals us. And we pray for them. So Lord has different ways to do. And that is our work, to share the love of Christ with them. Yes. See, that is indirect ways. So people will come. But because, as I said, they cannot confess, you know, or profess openly, because there is a blasphemy law. And if you ever turn from Islam to another religion, that's a bigotry or blasphemy. And blasphemy is to kill. That is very, very dangerous, you know. Yes. The hidden conversions are going on. We cannot say openly how many. This is very difficult. Please. Yes. Yes, that's a good question. I have written a book, Seven Unique Claims of Jesus in the context of Quran. So when someone asks who is a good shepherd, so I can give him, here's a book, you can read, and that is indirect evangelism. So we can, if someone asks, that's not a problem. We cannot, you know, go and tell them, you know, that can become a mess, you know. So if someone come, I have written that book, The Seven Unique Claims of Jesus. One of the claims is good, I am the good shepherd. So we can do, and in the context of Quran, because my doctorate is in Islam and Christianity. Okay. Come on.
So you can't baptize.
Yes, but again, very hidden, not open. Yes. Yes, that's fine. See, it also depends that how we explain. See, because our people are not familiar with the Quran, they don't know about the teachings of the Quran, so this is why it happens. Even in the Quran, it is written that he is a spirit of God and the word of God. It depends how we are going to present Jesus if we know and if we have the knowledge. If we don't have the knowledge, whatever they say, it's up to them. Yes.
So what does a typical Sunday service look like for you guys? Is it totally conspicuous, or how does it look like?
Well, we sit on the floor, okay, and worship to the Lord and bow down to him. Come and see. Yeah.
Next weekend.
Yes, why not? Come, I will be back in December. So you come and see what we are doing. Yes.
Hey, when I was visiting in 2014, I went to these churches, and they do. They have buildings. They put the cross. They have a Christian church in English, and then it's Punjabi or Urdu. They worship openly. It's freedom of religion in Pakistan, you know, but it, like you said, it gets along to cross the line of convert. But you have nominal Muslims in that country the same as we have nominal. They would call themselves a Christian, but they don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't fellowship, they don't confess Christ openly. And the same thing is in Pakistan with nominal Muslims. They're just going about life, and when they are served, when they're loved by the Christian community, when they're believed, when there's an open event or something like that, that's when they take a step into that fellowship. And like you said, they're not allowed to openly say, hey, I'm James Ryan. Papers, my government papers, but they now fellowship and align with the Christian community. They profess Christ, they're baptized into Jesus. I mean, I witnessed all that and participated when I was there in 13. I tried to go in 16 and they denied my visa. In 2020, I got my visa, but COVID kept me from traveling. So in 2025, I'll be going, or I pray, and you guys can pray. And if you do want to go, literally, we're running out of time, but if you want to be a part of any of that, we won't bring in a large team, but we can do what is the process, and if the Lord wills and everything works out, we'll go, and we'll go as safely as possible. When I went, I traveled by myself, and Salim said, don't leave the airport until you see me. And I had people speaking English saying, sir, I can get you to your friend. I think I know Dr. Salim. I mean, they were trying to work everything and anything. And I'm like, no, my friend will be here. I remember standing at the line where it says, you know, this is the line of security in the airport. After that, growing up, and I'm just standing at the line, looking down the hall, and there's all these Pakistani people, and I see Dr. Slim step out and wave to me. I'm like, okay, I can tell you that's all right. So, I mean, it is scary, but it's the Lord that we trust. We just sang about that.
One One beautiful thing you will enjoy when you come to Pakistan and worship with us, we break the bread and we drink from one cup. Okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Yes. You're right. Well, let me tell you another thing. As persecution will increase in any country, Christian faith will grow. Amen. Amen? We are more than conquerors in Him who loves us, you know. This is what Paul says. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? You are right. The education system, the level of Christians is increasing. Economically, they are doing good. And they are also building many, many churches. So the presence of the Lord is growing. And you will be glad to know in Pakistan, education and medicine, you know, hospitals are very much recognized in Pakistan that Christian community is playing a pivotal role in education and in the medical field, you know. Thank God, government also honor Christians in these two fields. So yes, this is what we want to ask you. Contribute means that be a partner. Let us exalt the cross of Jesus in that area where gospel is not being heard. And that is you and me are under the obligation to preach the gospel around the world. And I think, thank you very much. Before you say to me, go. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. But Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for everyone who believes. Again, thank you very much, sir.
For the sake of our kiddos and the teachers, well, let's stand. We'll just go out the word of prayer. I want to pray for Dr. Salim and Focus Ministries. Again, they'll be in the hallway if you want more information. And again, let's just pray for our brothers and sisters. God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing across this world, God. And Lord, we can get so myopic in our little world and just forget what our fellow brothers and sisters are suffering, God, for you. And their willingness, God, to stand for you and serve you, God, in the midst of all the attack and the persecution, Lord. So we pray specifically, Lord, tonight for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. Lord, we pray for Dr. Salim and the ministry of the Good Samaritan Hospital, Lord, that you would use it, God. You would pour out your spirit, Lord, on those who would be serving there, that Jesus would be exalted. As he said, the cross would be lifted high. And Lord, and those from all these different backgrounds, Lord, would know, Jesus, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they would bow their knee to you. So, Father, bless them, Lord. Bless Focus Ministry and their support, not only this ministry, but the other ministries, God, that you've called them to. And, Lord, we thank you that we get the privilege to serve you, to partner with you, Lord, in your work in the gospel in this world. So, Father, God, send us out, God, what you've called us to this week. And may we lift high the cross, Lord, and may people see Jesus in us. So we love you and we thank you and we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. You guys